Today's shiur is Masechta Yevamos Daf Kuvav. We will begin on Daf Kuvav Amar Aleph, the first words. Tana Rabbanan. Chalitza mutaz kshera. A mistake in chalitza, chalitza made by mistake, is kosher. Ask the Gemara, is chalitza mutaz? Exactly what does that mean? And it says Reish Lakish. Amar Lai. Kosher Amar Lai chalitz. Uvakach at the kainza. So Reish Lakish says a very interesting thing. He says that let's say we have a man who doesn't really know any halacha. He hasn't been learning Masechta Yevamos with us. So he doesn't know that a Yevama is separated by Chalitza. And this Yevama doesn't really want to marry him. So the Rav, the Bezdin, tells this Yevam, go make Chalitza, and that's the way you marry Yevama. Which of course is just the opposite of the truth. And like that, we get the Chalitza done, and she doesn't have to worry about having a relationship with him. And Reish Lakish is saying, even though, I guess in our world, it would be called entrapment, it's acceptable. A chalitza mutas is kshera. Omalei Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan asks Reish Lakish, Ani shayna, I learned the Braisa. The Braisa says, Bein sh'niskavn hu, v'loi niskavni hi. If the man, if the Yovim had intent to do chalitza, but not the woman, or if she had intent and not he, the halach is chalitza subsula, that's an unacceptable chalitza, achi yiskavnu shneim ke'echot, until they both have the proper intent. That amrit chalitza sekshera, and you're suggesting that when the chalitza was done under these circumstances, on these false pretenses, the chalitza should be kosher. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says your explanation of chalitza mutas is incorrect. Before we go further, there's a very fundamental machloikis. It's actually relevant to an interesting shaila. What is the definition of kavona? The Braisa here says that a proper chalitza has to have kavona. What's the kavona? So some rishonim explain kavona to do the mitzvah. Kavona to do the mitzvah is chalitza. That's how some learn. Chacham Tzvi says there's no, the issue of having kavona to do a mitzvah is by a mitzvah we have to do. For example, we have to hear shofar. So you have to have kavana to be mekayim tkiya shofar. You have to take the dalaminim. You have to have kavana to be mekayim the mitzvah. Chalitza is not a mitzvah that must be done. So he explains the kavana that the Gemara refers to is kavana to sever the band. It's like kavana of a business deal. These people are related, and the kavana is that we want to separate, we want to sever the zika band that we've been discussing so many times. Where is there a nafgamina between these two pshatim? A very interesting shaila. What will happen if there's a person, never who died without children, leaves a yavama, has a brother who's the yavam, and the yavama is an older woman, has no intent ever to get remarried. So is there a point to any way the chalitza must be done? So the paiskim discuss that in certain circumstances, the man may insist that he wants a chalitza done, because his wife may not be happy. Let's say he's married, and his wife is not happy that he has some sort of a halachic relationship with his sister-in-law. Or maybe he wants to get remarried, and he won't be able to get married if he has a zika. But let's say we have a situation, the man has no problem with not doing chalitza, the woman has no problem with not doing chalitza, she's not interested in ever getting married again. Is there an inyan, is there an issue to do chalitza anyway? It goes back to our question. Is chalitza a mitzvah? If chalitza is a mitzvah, so even if she doesn't want to get married, we're supposed to do a mitzvah. If on the other hand, chalitza is only a practical way of allowing her to get married in the future, but there's no specific mitzvah to do chalitza, if she doesn't want to have chalitza done, she doesn't have to have it done. The minig is that we consider chalitza a mitzvah to be done, even if she doesn't want to get married, because the svarim say that chalitza is good for the neshama of the person who passed away. In fact, in many places, there's a minig, when a chalitza is done, they light candles. Lezecha, the neshama of the person who died without children. Going back to the Gemara. So now we have, Rabbi Yochanan needs to give us an explanation that the braisa we began the shiur with today says, chalitza mutas kshera. What is a chalitza mutas? Elo says Rav Yochanan, the definition of chalitz mutas is kol she'ar melay chalitz amnasha titan l'cha mesayim zuz. A condition is made where she says, give me chalitza, and if you give me chalitza, I'll pay you. Tanya nami hochi, chalitz mutas k'sheira, ezu chalitz mutas, what is the definition? Kol she'ar melay chalitz amnasha titan l'cha mesayim zuz. If they say, we'll pay you, and then he doesn't get his money, the halacha is that that chalitza is still a kosher chalitza. And says the Gemara, a woman fell to a yavam who was inappropriate for her to marry, make chalitza on the condition that you'll get paid, and then the chalitza was done, and the payment wasn't given, B'chiyah said it's kosher anyway. So the obvious question is that throughout halacha, we know that a tanai is an important aspect of any deal. So if we make a condition in a deal, the halacha views a tanai as required to be fulfilled. Otherwise, we have no deal. So why over here does the tanai not have to be fulfilled? So the answer is, as we know, the entire concept of Hilchus Tanoim, that conditions have relevance in halacha, we learn from Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain. Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain, they didn't want to get their portion in Eretz Yisrael, they wanted to get their portion in Eiver HaYarden, and Moshe Rabbeinu made a condition with them, if you'll go to battle, then you'll get your portion, and if you don't, then you won't. And all throughout Shas, whenever we speak about Hilchus Tanoim, we use Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain, what happened there as the paradigm. That's why you have to have a Tanai Kafel. That's why we have to have Tanai Koidim L'maisa. All of because of Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain. By Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain, one of the aspects was that they did it through a messenger. It was something that the person they made the condition with didn't have to be the one to be there for the consummation of the deal. And the proof is that it wasn't. They made the deal with Moshe Rabbeinu, but Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't the one that divided at Yisrael. Yeshua is the one. So from here we learn that the only time we have to fulfill a condition is in a situation where it's a type of a story that it can be given over to a shliach. Chalitza, the halacha is, cannot be given over to a shliach. Why can't chalitza be given over to a shliach? So there are a number of pshatim offered by the Rishonim and Achronim. One pshat is, since Yibum, by definition, can't be done by a shliach, the bia has to be done by the yavam. Since chalitza and yibum travel together, chalitza can't be done by a shliach. That's one pshat. Another pshat is the pasuk says, na aloi, the shoe of the yavam, not anyone else's shoe. Another pshat, which I saw from Rabbi Chanan, says an interesting pshat. Rabbi Chanan says that sometimes the main part of an action is really the intent behind the action. Let's say somebody gets married, or the other way, gets divorced. It's not the piece of paper of the divorce that's what's important, or the piece, or the ring. It's the intent. When the main thing is the intent, there, the actual maisa can be carried out by shliach. By chalitza, it's not the intent that counts. By chalitza, what counts is the actual maisa chalitza. That can't be given over to a shliach. So since chalitza cannot be given over to a shliach, there's no Hilchus Tanoim, and therefore, even if a Tanai was made, it doesn't have to be fulfilled. Tosfos in Masechet Baba Kama asks a very interesting question. He says, if we're using the model of Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain so strictly, so the story of Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain was over a piece of property, the Eiver HaNor. So why don't we suggest that Chalitza should only, that a Tanai is only acceptable, or is only relevant by deals that involve real estate. We know Tanoim work all over in Shas. If we're using Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain as the exact model, we should follow it to that aspect also. So Tosfos answers, the point why Shlichus should make a difference, if it could be given to a Shliach, then a Tanai works. Or if it can't be given to a Shliach, then a Tanai doesn't work. He says the following svar. He says, if I have so much control over something, then not only do I have, can I do it, I can even give it over to a shliach to do, that shows that I have a lot of control over this action. And since I have a lot of control, I can make conditions. However, if I don't have that strong control, what's the proof? I can't ask a shliach to do it. Therefore, I have less control. And if I have less control, the same halacha will also be that I cannot give it over to a Tanai. Because it shows that I have less control, and Chazal, the Torah didn't give me a right to make Tanoim. Before we go further, there's a very interesting historical perspective to this Gemara. We just explained that Shlichus doesn't work by Chalitza. And all the sources that we quoted speak about the man, the Yavam, not being able to make a Shliach. What would be the halacha could a Yavam make a Shliach? And the story, this situation came up here in the United States about 100 years ago or so, where there were many people who part of the family lived in the United States and part of the family lived in Russia. Brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws did not live in the same country, and travel couldn't take place between the two countries. And you had women who were unable to get to the Yavam, or vice versa. And the question that came up was, could a woman appoint a shliach to do chalitza? That she won't be the person to pull off the shoe. She could appoint someone else. There was a rav in America that wanted to suggest that yes, Al Gemara says that shlichus doesn't work by chalitza. It only means that the yavam can make a shliach, but not the yavama. There was an asifa called in Europe. There was a meeting called in Europe. Rav Chaim Moshe was there. Chavetz Chaim was there. To say that any chalitza that was done under such circumstances is certainly disqualified and unacceptable. When the Gemara says ain't shlichus, it means that neither could appoint a shliach. And Davni Nezer has a proof from the Gemara we learned yesterday. He says, yesterday we learned the Gemara on Daf Kuf Heyom and Aleph. The Gemara asks, Gidemes, a woman who Nebuch doesn't have any hands, could she do chalitza? So there was a question asked to Levi, and the Gemara says, yes, a Gidemes could do it, she could do it with her teeth. Says Davni Nezer, why is the problem? If a woman could appoint a shliach, so if she can't do it with her own hands, why doesn't she appoint a shliach? It's a proof that even the woman, the Yavama, cannot appoint a shliach to do chalitza. Continues the Gemara. Hahuda asla kameid of Chiba Abba. There was a woman that came in front of Chiba Abba. She was a candidate for Yibam. We're going to learn with the first pshat that Rashi learns with. Amlai biti amaydi. He says, get up and do Yibam. And Taisus goes on, why do you have to stand? Taisus says, because this is like a din Torah. We compared it to Gemar Din earlier in the week. And Gemar Din, the people have to stand for. Amrlei, Ima, so her mother who came along with the daughter, says to the Rav Chiya, Yeshivasa Zuimidasa. For her, it's better that she shouldn't do Yibam. It's not appropriate that she should do Yibam with this Yavam. Amrlei, Yedatlei, do you know something that makes you say that? Amrlei, In, yes. But Mina Hu the Chazala, really all he wants is her money. She had a lot of money. The Kabay Lemechle Mina. And he wants to get his hands and be able to use that money. Amalei. So now he had to be able to convince this Yavam to do Chalitza. This Yavam is saying, I want to do Yibam. And he sees that Chalitza is the better thing to do. Amalei. Chalitzla Ubach Bekachat HaKaintza. So he did what we learned at the beginning of the Shir. He told this person who was obviously an Amoritz, do Chalitza because that's the first step towards Yibam. Lebas Bechalitzla. After he did that Chalitza, Amla hashta minach ifshala. You did a chalitza, even though it was done under false pretenses. Since it's somewhat of a chalitza, she can no longer be your wife, and therefore do it over. Chalitza chalitza me'ayisa. Now do a proper chalitza kehecha the tishtriel alma, in order that you should that she should not be tied to you, because she can never marry you anyway, because the Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rashba say, once even a weak chalitza was done, as we've been learning all week long, she no longer is a candidate for Yibam. So Mefarshim ask, obvious question. Al Gemara has given us two options of what could be done. One is to entrap him, and the other is to say, we'll pay and not pay. Why did he choose this approach of saying that this something which is not even true, do chalitza, and that's how you do Yibam, when he could have used the other approach? So Aruch HaNes has a very simple teretz. This person wanted to put his hands on all of her money. By that telling him, we'll give you a couple of dollars, that isn't going to satisfy him. So that's why that Eitzah wasn't available. They had no other option besides doing this what is actually somewhat not true, but there was no other way of saving this woman. Says the Gemara further. The Ritva goes a step further. He says, with a biti amaydi, what was wrong with this woman was that she was an amputee. She couldn't walk. So that was the proof that he didn't intend to marry her because he really wanted to marry her, because who would want to marry such a woman? It must be that he wanted to marry her only to be able to get his hands on the money. Says the Gemara, another such episode. Bas chamur de rapapa, nafale lefnei yovim shena hoganla. The daughter of the father-in-law of Rav Papa, that means Rav Papa's sister-in-law, fell to Yibam, and again, to the man that was inappropriate thought to marry. Aslo kamei de baya, so it came to baya, how are we going to get her chalitza? Amalei chalitzla, or bekach at the kainzla. So he said, this, eitza. Amalei Rav Papa, leisavel amad ha dam Rav Yochanan. Don't you agree with what we heard Rav Yochanan say, that this type of chalitza is unacceptable? So he asked, Elahecha Emalei, so what should I do? Amalei, so he said you should better do, is chalitzla amenashe titan lachma asaimzos. Tell her that you're going to give him the money if he gives you chalitza. Lebas the chalitzla, after she did the chalitza, amalei zil havli, pay him. So right away, the Mefarshim ask, we learned at the beginning of the shir, that if such a condition is made, a tanai doesn't have to be fulfilled. So why is he telling her to fulfill the condition? So the Rishonim answer that even though it isn't a tanai, because we say by chalitza there are no tanoim, but she made a deal. She hired him. And a deal is a deal that has to be kept. Amalei, so he said, there's a way of getting out of this requirement of paying the money. Mishatavach avdalei. What she did here is something called, I fooled you. Milay Tanya, there's a Gemara Masechta Baba Kama. The Gemara Masechta Baba Kama discusses the following situation. There was a person incarcerated in prison unjustly, and he is able to escape. So he gets out of jail. We could all relate to this type of a story, not relate to being in jail, but we could relate to somebody being in a rush. So he gets out of jail, and there's a taxi right in front of the jail. And he tells him, I need you to take me quickly. I need to get somewhere quickly. So let's say the normal fear to get to where he's going is $10. And the taxi driver is starting to talk. He says, you know what? I'll give you $100. Just take me. So that's what happened. Vice Mavril Funov. Vamle told Dinav Avireini. So he says, I'll give you $100. Just take me. And now he takes him to where they made up. And now the taxi driver turns around and says, where's the $100? So Aloch is Enle Elischarai. He says, you only deserve $10 because that's the fear. Alma, why? He said, I'm giving you $100. Amalei Mishatan Nechbach. He said, I told you $100 because I wanted you to get me there. But I didn't mean to pay you more than you deserve. Hachanami Mishatan Nechbach. Here too, she said, I'm going to give you, but she didn't mean it. She only meant to do it in order to get a chalitza. And therefore, she doesn't have to pay. But the Rishonim make a number of points here. Number one, the Rishonim say Mishata Nibach can only be used if Bezdin was the one that arranged for the payment. If the woman and the man made a deal between themselves, she has no right to back out of a deal. Furthermore, the Rishonim say, if there was a kinyan made, once the kinyan is made, she has to keep her word, and the deal is a deal. Also, even if she doesn't have to pay an exorbitant fee, she does have to pay for his schar b'teila, for the amount of time that he had to spend on doing the chalitza that he could have been working in that time. Just to talk about this Gemara, fascinating Gemara, about making a deal and not keeping it, the Rishonim have two ways of explaining this Gemara. One approach the Rishonim say is that the taxi driver in our Gemara acted unfairly. Why are you asking for $100 for something that's only worth $10? That's one approach in the Rishonim. Another approach in the Rishonim is that the taxi driver really also has to participate in helping this person. He's running out of jail. He's escaping jail where he was incarcerated unfairly. So he really shouldn't take any money. So certainly, he has no right to take an exorbitant fee or any fee, perhaps. Where is this nafkamina lahalocha? So I saw two areas where it's nafkamina lahalocha lamaisa that perhaps we all can relate to. Someone goes to a doctor. In other words, a taxi ride has a fare. There's a fee per mile. A medicine. The same situation. Let's say somebody goes to a pharmacy and says, give me the medicine and I'll pay you more than it's worth. But the medicine has a fee, has a price. So I could say, why should I pay more? But let's say somebody goes to a doctor. And the doctor examines him and takes some sort of crazy fee. Does he have to pay? If we follow the approach that everything has a fee, and whatever the fee is, you have to pay. So the doctor has a fee. He charges a lot of money. You don't have to go to that doctor. He doesn't have to see you. But if you grant, you have to pay his fee. If, on the other hand, the pshat in the Gemara is because it's at solus nefashis, so if the doctor is Jewish and you're Jewish, so the doctor's allowed to get paid for his time, but he may not be allowed to take an exorbitant fee. Then I saw a very similar shaila from the Maram Shik. There was somebody who was interested in a shidduch. Interesting shaila. Somebody was interested in a shidduch, and he went over to a shatchan, who he felt could help make this shidduch happen, and he told the shatchan, make this shidduch happen, and I'll pay you very, very handsomely. And the shatchan did his job, and now we have a shidduch. And now the shatchan comes and say, it's time to pay. He says, I'll give you shatchanis, but I'm not going to give you some sort of crazy amount. He says, what are you talking about? We made a deal. So if we compare it to the question of the doctor, just like a doctor, we said, has a right to take whatever fee he wants, you don't have to use that doctor. If shatchanis doesn't have a set price in the market, it's not like a bowel milk that has a set price, the Ram Shik says that the shatchan has a right to get his whole fee, just like the doctor has a right to get whatever he charges for a visit. The Ram Shik does advise shatchanim that they should make the kinyan and they should make the deal very clear, because otherwise these shailas are going to come up every day. Continues the Gemara. Amalei, so Abaya was very impressed with Rapapa. Amalei vuchecha, where do you have your father? Amalei b'masa. Imachecha, where's your mother? Also Amalei b'masa. Yor be'en of shkiven. So Pshat in the Gemara is, Abaya was so impressed how Rapapa was such a Talmud Chacham. And he wanted to understand, how does a person become such a Talmud Chacham? Now that he heard he had Baruch Shem, a father and a mother who took care of all of his needs, so he had the Menuchas HaNefesh to learn Torah, and therefore Abaya, there was an Ayin Hara, and that's how he became a Talmud Chacham, but Abaya gave an Ayin Hara in them, and they died. And Mefarshim go on to explain, because Abaya was a person whose father died while his mother was pregnant, and his mother died right when he was born, so even though Abaya certainly was a great person, he wasn't a bad person, that he was upset that Rapapa had parents and he didn't, but this, I saw the Shem Tzion Baloch explains the Gemara this way, is the power of an Ayin Hara. An Ayin Hara isn't made intentionally, that somebody intentionally doesn't fagin or is jealous. It's what it is. Sometimes when a person is successful and other people see it, even if they have no, they fagin him, that's what happens. In fact, that's what the Shem Tzion Baloch strongly tells people who are Baruch Hashem successful to be very low key and low profile, because if you're going to take a high profile, people are going to be looking at you, and even if they don't intend to do any bad, you can't become the subject, as parents became the subject of an Ayin Hara. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Chalitza Mutas Ksheira, as we learned, Get Mutar Possel. A get made with a mistake is possel. Chalitza Mu'asis, a chalitza that was forced is psula. A chalitza mu'asis psula. Get mu'usa, a get that was forced is kosher. Ask the Gemara. Hey Chidami, what is the case that was saying that it was mu'usa, that was forced? Either Amar Roitzani, that the Yavim agreed to give chalitza, or get, so feel a chalitza nami should be kosher. V'loy Amar Roitzani, if on the other hand they weren't willing to do it, get nami loy, so the get should not be acceptable either. Says the Gemara Hachkama, chalitz mutas loyim kosher. As we learned in the previous Gemara, two pshat on what chalitz mutas is. Get mutas is loyim posel. Chalitz mu'usis, the get mu'usa, zimnin kosher, zimnin posel. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not bad. Hada amar roitzani, when he, even though he was coerced, but ultimately agrees, then it's kosher. Hada loyim roitzani, when he didn't agree, there the halach is, it's not kosher. The Tanya, famous Gemara. The Pasuk says, Yakrav Isai. When a person has to bring a carbon, the Pasuk says, Yakrav Isai. Melamed Shekaifin Isai. We force him. Yochabak Karchai. A carbon can be brought under duress. Tamalai Melaritsoinai. He has to be willing to bring it. So how do we reconcile? Is it coerced or is it only under his free will? Hakeitzat kaifenaisa atchiyam roitzani. They force him until he's agreeable. V'chein aimer atamaitz begitei nashim. Similarly, we find a get kaifenaisa atchiyam roitzani. And there's a famous vart from the Rambam, very famous vart. What does it mean kaifenaisa? We force him until he says, "I want to do it." So he was forced. He doesn't want to do it. Says the Rambam, every Jew really wants to do the right thing. That sometimes we have the Yetzer Hara that gets in the way. Kaifen I say, what we're supposed to do is bring out the good of every Jew until he's willing to do what he's supposed to do. Amarav, Amarav Schair, Amarav Huna. Choltsen api shemekirim. If a couple comes to Besdin and they say that they're a Yavam and Yavama and they want a Chalitza done, we'll do it even though we don't really know them to be a Yavam and Yavama. Similarly, Memanim, we're going to learn in the next parak of Mitzvah Shem that a girl under certain circumstances could do Miyun, she could annul a marriage. Again, a girl could come into Bezdin and say, Api Shem Akirin, Miyun could be done. Lefikach, however, says the Gemara, Ein Kaisman Get Chalitza, Elan Kei Makirin. We won't write a get, that, as we'll learn more in Amud Beis, they used to write a document to document that there was a Chalitza. Here we won't write the document. Why? Because even though Bezdin performed the Chalitza, they really don't know that this was a real couple. And they may have had some sort of trick in mind. That means, let's say there was a woman that wanted to marry a man, and her Yavam wasn't willing to give Chalitza Yibam. So she comes with somebody else to Bezdin and says, this is my Yavam. They'll write out a shtar that she's allowed to get married, but it was really not true. So to write the shtar, that we won't do unless Bezdin is 100% sure. Similarly, and Kaisman get miyun. We won't write a get for this. We won't write a document saying that there was a true get. There was a true miyun. Elmke makirin. Because again, maybe she's just using this, and she wants to say it was a miyun when there wasn't a miyun. Maybe she's a gedayla. All sorts of different circumstances that Bezdin didn't investigate. They can't write. And like Kaisman goes on to explain, if they go to the next city without, and she'll say, "I was the subject of a chalitza." Or a miyun, the Bezdin will say, okay, could you show us the document? And when they won't have a document to show, Bezdin will recognize that something is amiss here. The Chashin in the Bezdin time. Rava, on the other hand, says, Ein chaitza l'makirin. We don't even let Bezdin begin to do a chalitza unless they know that this couple is truly a yavam yavama. Furthermore, Ein maman al kemakirin. Lefikach, since we always know that Bezdin won't begin doing a chalitza unless they know that this is a situation where chalitza is warranted, they won't do a miyun unless they know that a miyun is really warranted. Lefika kaisun get chalitza apisha makirin. If Adam saw chalitza done, they could write the document because they could be confident that Bezdin would have never done the chalitza unless they knew that a chalitza should be done here. And similarly, the kaisun get miyun apisha makirin. They could write the get miyun even though Bezdin didn't write it. We don't have to be concerned that Bezdin made a mistake because they can be sure that Bezdin will not begin doing a chalitza or begin doing a miyun unless they know that it's the proper time and place to actually do it. Because the Mefarshim go on to explain, in the get chalitza, there's a line that says, we did chalitza, and now this woman may get married. So Rishonim ask, maybe they should be able to write the get and leave out that line. We're concerned that the next Bezdin won't read the document properly, and they won't notice that line is missing. So therefore, we don't start unless we know for sure that it's truly warranted. Says the Mishnah, last Mishnah of the Perek. Mitzvah Chalitza, what is the Mitzvah Chalitza? Bohu v'yivim to lebezdin, both the Yavim and the Yavam arrive to Bezdin, then misin lo eitzah ha'goynus lo. And they look at the circumstances. Is this a situation where Yibam should be done? Is this a situation where Chalitza should be done? Shenema, the Karolai Ziknei Iroi, the Dibru Elov. They discuss the situation with him. The Rishonim discuss, what will be the halacha if the Yavam and Yavama both want a Yibam? And Bezdin feels that they're not a candidate for Yibam. Should Bezdin, even under those circumstances, tell them, this is not for you? Or if they both want to do it, even though Bezdin doesn't think it's the right thing, maybe then Bezdin shouldn't tell them not to do it. V'yoy Meris, and now the Mishnah continues describing what happens by Chalitza. V'yoy Meris, me'ein yivami l'hokim l'ochv shem b'Yisrael. My brother-in-law doesn't want to build his house. L'yovah yavmi. V'huama, And then the Yavam says, I don't want to take her. And they said this all in Lashon HaKodesh. I saw from the Panim Yafais, why should the Chalitza be done in Lashon HaKodesh? So he explains, a brother that doesn't want to do Yibam, as we've been learning, is something inappropriate. So the Malachim are upset at this Yavam for not doing Yibam. And they may want to do punishment to this Yavam. We know, the Gemara says many times, that the only language that the Malachim understand is Lashon HaKodesh. So they're careful to do the Chalitza and Lashon HaKodesh to calm the Malachim down. I'm doing what I have to do. Maybe I didn't do Yibam, but I am doing Chalitza. Chas v'sham, don't bring me any Einish. Continues the Mishnah. V'niksha yivimta elov le'en ezakenim. She comes over to him. V'cholt naloi mi'al raglov. She takes off his shoes. V'york b'fonov. I sort of first explain what's the issue of taking off the shoe. What does that symbolize? Swamp shot that I saw is, it symbolizes avelus. We know that an oval is not allowed to wear shoes. And he's saying, she's saying to him, you're really causing that there should be a real avelus for your brother who died. He didn't have children. And now by you not doing Yibum, he really will not have anybody left. And that's a sign of avelus. Another pshat, similar to something we discussed. In those days, a woman used to take off the man's shoes. That's the way a wife used to take care of the husband. So she told him, you could have had me as a wife. I would have taken off your shoes. And I would have taken care of you. And you chose not to do that. And she spits in front of him. It has to be right that the Yonim see. And then she continues and says, the Tanakhama says, that's as far in the parasha they went. However, says the Mishnah, Rav Hukunis once performed the Chalitza in the city of Itam. The Gomez called a parasha. He finished the rest of the parasha. From then on, the meaning became that we finished the entire parasha of Chalitza. And then, the Nikrishmai, the Yisrael, Beis Chalitza now. We continue until the end of the parasha, Beis Chalitza now. Mitzvah the Yonim, and mitzvah that the Yonim should do this, v'loy mitzvah talmidim. The Yonim are the ones that are supposed to call out Chalitza now, not the observers. The mitzvah is all of them to say Chalitza now. Everybody's standing by the Chalitza. This too is very much the minig. At the end of the Chalitza, everybody says Chalitza now. We'll learn in the Gemara how many times it's said. It's interesting. I saw a pshat. The pasuk says Beis Chalitza now. But when we say, we don't say Beis Chalitza now. We say Chalitza now. Why don't we say Beis Chalitza now as the words of the pasuk? So the Mefarshim explain, the Gemara says many times, Beisai zu ishtai, that a person's wife is called Beisai. So here we're calling the Yavam Chalitza now. So we don't want that people should blame the Yavam's wife, that she was the reason that he didn't do Yibam. So we don't say Beis Chalitza now, that people should blame his wife. Chalitza now, it's your fault. Don't blame it on your wife. Says the Gemara. Amar Yehuda, Mitzvah Chalitza. What is the Mitzvah Chalitza? Kara. First she says the Psukim. The Kairi, then he says the Psukim. The Chaletzes, she does the Chalitza, very Kaika, then she expels the saliva. The Kairi, she says some more. Ask the Gemara, Maika Mashmon, what is the Mishnah teaching us? Masnisen he. Isn't that what our Mishnah taught us? Answers the Gemara, Haka Mashmalon, Mitzvah Hachi. The mitzvah is to do it in this order. The Epoch, however, it wasn't done specifically in this order. Less than but it's acceptable Chalitza. Anyway. Tanya Nami Hachi. Bein shehigdim chalitza l'rikika, whether the chalitza was done before the rikika, bein shehigdim rikika l'chalitza, even though truthfully it should be the chalitza and then the rikika, still the halach is masha osui, it's acceptable. The Rishonim discuss what's the halacha. We say that she says me'ein yavami, that she didn't want. He says l'chafas l'kachta, I didn't want to take her. What would be the halacha that he did want to take her, but he's not taking her because Bezdin told her that she shouldn't, Bezdin told him don't do Yibam. That was the Eitzah Bezdin gave. Or what would be the halacha, as we learned so many times early in the Masechta, that Chalitza is being done because it's a Chiv Lavin. That means he would prefer to do Yibam. He's not doing Yibam because the halacha doesn't let him. So the words, l'chafatzi, l'kachta, I don't want to take her, are not really honest. He does want to take her. Still says the Rosh, whenever we do a chalitza, even these words have to be said, even if personally perhaps he might have preferred to do a yibam. Amar Abaya, Hayman, the mikri get chalitza. The person that's reading the words, l'likri l'day, when she reads, when she says the words, l'ova yavmi, what does the words l'ova yavmi mean? He didn't want to do yibam. She should be careful not to say loy l'chodei v'avmi l'chodei. Very careful how to pronounce it. Don't separate the loy from the avayavmi. Because if you're going to separate the sentence, it's going to sound like loy, no, and then avayavmi. He wants to do yibam. The mashm avayavmi. That makes sounds like he does loy, that he does want to do yibam. What is the right way to pronounce it? Elo loye avayavmi. He should say it, she should say it in one sentence, in one phrase, without any stop. Loyavayavmi. He doesn't want to do yibam. Furthermore, v'loy likra l'day, when he's saying what he's supposed to say, he shouldn't say loy l'chudei, the chafatzi l'chudei. He shouldn't separate the word loy from chafatzi, which again would have the meaning, the mashma chafatzi l'kachta, I want to take her. It's the opposite. Elo, again, when he says the phrase, he should be careful to say the whole phrase in one shot, l'chafatzi l'kachta. Rav Amar, Rav disagrees. He says, afsuki milsehi, it's natural that when people speak, they take a break in the middle of their speaking. Afsuki milsehi leslambo. Says the Gemara, Rav Ashi, ashkechal Rav Kahana, Rav Ashi met Rav Kahana, don't commit star, or mikri lo'ova yavmi. Obviously, he had some sort of a speech impediment, and he had a difficulty to say these three words without breaking in between. Omalei, le'sova ma'al ohoda rava. Don't you agree with what Rava said, that even if you take a break, it's not a problem because that's the way people speak? Amalei, moida rav b'loy ova yavmi. There are two phrases. There's a phrase that the woman says, loy ova yavmi, and there's a phrase of loy chafasti l'kachta. So in the phrase of loy chafasti l'kachta, Rava says, it doesn't bother him if there's a break in between. Because that's all he says. He just says those three words. That's all the yavam says. The Yavama, on the other hand, says, Le'ova Yavmi is in the middle of a long paragraph. So if she's going to separate the Loi from the Ova Yavmi, even Rava agrees that that's an issue. And therefore Rava says, if the Yavam stops in the middle, it doesn't bother her, but the Yavama is an issue. Continues the Gemara. Amar Abaya, Hayman the Kos of Gittit the Chalitzta, the one that writes this document that we discussed in Amar Aleph, L'ktoiv Hochi. He should write this way. Ikrinon l'lidah me'ein yavmi ad ava yavmi. We read with her the words from me'ein yavmi to ava yavmi. V'krinon l'day min loy ad l'kachta. We read with him those words. V'krinon l'day min kochav ad chaloitza now. Why? The Gemara discusses, Sech the Gittin, that when one writes psukim of the Torah, he has to make sirtut. So therefore, the Gemara is telling us that if you write these words of the Torah, you're quoting the words from the Torah, you should be careful not to write the whole word. Just write the first word of the Pasuk and the last word of the Pasuk, so you shouldn't have an issue with Sirtut. Daruch Lener asks that the Gemara says that the halacha is, one man Dama says, that you only have to write Sirtut if you write four words. But the words Lechafatzti Lekachta are only three words. So why do you have to write Loi and Lekachta? It's only three words anyway. Says the Aruch Haner, even the Man D'Amar that says that Sirtut is not required if it's four words or less, will agree if those three words represent an entire idea, you're not allowed to write them without Sirtut. So yes, L'chafatzi L'kachta is only three words, but it represents an entire thought, and therefore it should not be done without Sirtut. Says the Gemara, Mazut M'sarta V'kosul Kul Parsha. He didn't want to get into any of these problems, so he, the piece of paper that he wrote, the Shtar Chalitza, he made lines for the entire piece of paper. Maskula Maridi, Mabaridi, Vloinita Lichtoiv. The halacha is, the Gemara says, Masechta Gittin, that in those days, they were careful not to write just parshias of the Torah, because you're not allowed to write one parasha at a time. If you want to write it, you have to write all Chamisha Chumsha Torah. So how could you allow, ask the Gemara, how could Mazutra allow that just these few psukim should be written separately? Says the Gemara, Hilchos Kavased Mazutra. It may be written separately, even though it just represents a few lines. Why? So the Meiri explains, because there's a din of Eis Lasus Lashem, Hefer Teresecha. We have a woman that's going to be in a guna without the chalitza. And therefore we allow that to be done. Another pshat that I saw is that why would one want to write separate parashiyos? Because it's easier. I don't want to have to give a child that's learning the Torah a whole sefer Torah. I'll give him small part. So that, the Gemara says, is not a heter. You should write a whole sefer Torah. However, here, there is no reason that if I want to write a get chalitza, we should write the whole chamisha chumsha Torah. And therefore, everybody agrees, just these few psukim alone could be written with certainty. Amar Abaya, says Abaya, Rakaka v'kotosar lo ruach. If she expelled the saliva, but the wind blew it away, loyasav loyklum. If never was in front of him, then it's not acceptable. My tama, the pasuk says v'yark v'fana b'inan. It has to be in front of him. Says the Gemara, Hilkach, hu aruch v'hi gutza. Let's say the yavim is a tall individual and she's short. Kotosar ruach, ikka v'fanav. As soon as she expels it, it's in front of him. If it goes away afterwards, it doesn't bother me. But on the other hand, he arucha v'hi gutz. Let's say she's tall and he's short. So it could be that before the saliva is in front of him, it will never reach, be in front of him. It will be, has been blown away. Being an adam mata lahadi ape, it has to be first been at least for a moment in front of him, for hada ozel, and then it should go away. So la loch lemaisa, the meaning is that the yonim lechatchila. Again, we learned earlier in the parak that even the rekika wasn't done, the chalitza could be acceptable. But rekika should be done, and the right way is that the rekika should be, the dayanim should see the saliva exit her mouth, go in front of the yavam, and reach the floor. Says the Gemara, Amarava, achla tuma v'ruksa, if she ate garlic and then spit, achla gagishta, or she ate clay v'ruksa, and then she spit, l'asa v'leklum. It's not an acceptable chalitza. My tama, miyakim atzma v'inan v'leka. These items cause a person to spit. We want that the person should expel the saliva on their own, not because there was an outside force that made them spit. Therefore, don't eat these kind of foods that cause a lot of saliva. The minig, again, is that the day of a chalitza, a woman doesn't eat at all. She fasts until after the chalitza. Continues the Gemara. V'amar Rav Tzricha Dayana L'mechsi Roika Kinafik Mipum D'Yivama D'Ksiv L'Ein Ezekein V'Yark. V'nikra Shmai B'Yisrael Beis Chalutz Hanal. So we learned in the Mishnah, the Tanakama held Mitzvah Dayana V'Loi Talmidim. Tanya Amar B'Yehuda Pamachas Hayinu Yoishin L'fnei Rav Tarfin. We were sitting in front of Rav Tarfin. V'Bas Yivama Lachlitz, and Yivama came to have Chalitza done. V'amar Lanu, and we told them, Unu Kulchem, all of you should say Chalutz Hanal, Chalutz Hanal, Chalutz Hanal, that say three times. First, you say the reason it should be said three times is because that gives it the proper publicity that the woman is truly chalutza. I also saw an interesting question, why when a chalitza is done, don't we make a bracha? So Mefarshim say, because as we learned, yivam is preferable to chalitza. We only make a bracha when we're doing the mitzvah and a mufchar. Another answer is that we only make a bracha on a mitzvah we had to do. But chalitza is not something that had to be done because yivam could have been done. And therefore, we don't make a bracha on the chalitza. We should never have a shayla like this. Hanun lach mitzvah chalitza, hanun lach mitzvah chalitza, hanun lach mitzvah chalitza. Is there a bracha for yivam? Yes, because lachat chayla, we're supposed to do mimers. You make brachas erusim.